The wind had never failed, but it grew gentler every day, till at length the waves were little more than ripples, and the ship glided on, hour after hour, almost as if they were sailing on a lake. And every night they saw that there rose in the east new constellations which no one had ever seen in Narnia, and perhaps, as Lucy thought, with a mixture of joy and fear, no living eye had seen at all. On an evening of startling beauty, when the sunset behind them was so crimson and purple and widely spread that the very sky itself seemed to have grown larger, they came in sight of land on their starboard bow. It came slowly nearer and nearer, and presently they were sailing along its coast. The island had no mountains, but many gentle hills with slopes like pillows. An attractive smell came from it, what Lucy called a dim, purple kind of smell. They sailed on a good way, past point after point, hoping to find a nice deep harbour, but had to content themselves with a wide and shallow bay. Though it had seemed calm out at sea, there was surf breaking on the sand. They couldn't bring the Dawn Treader as far in as they would have liked, but dropped anchor a good way from the beach and had a wet and tumbling landing in the boat. Most of the crew came ashore, though Lord Roop remained on board the Dawn Treader. He wished to see no more islands. With two men left behind to guard the boat, Caspian and the others went inland, but not far, because it was too late for exploring, and the light would soon go. But there was no need to go far to find an adventure.
Well...
Look! Look! What's that?
Oh!
Are they great trees?
No. Towers, I think. No. It might be giants.
The way to find out is to go right in among them.
I think it's a ruin.
Yes. Yes, it is a ruin.
A ruin.
What they saw as they got nearer was a wide, oblong space flagged with smooth stones and surrounded by grey pillars, but unroofed. And from end to end of it ran a long table laid with a rich crimson cloth that came down nearly to the pavement. At either side of it were many chairs of stone, richly carved, and with silken cushions upon the seats. But on the table itself, there was set out such a banquet as had never been seen, not even when Peter the High King kept his court at Caer Paravel. Meat of all kinds, and pies shaped like ships under full sail, and ice puddings, and seafood, and fruits, and vegetables. There were flagons of gold and silver, and curiously wrought glass. Lucy noticed a knife of stone, sharp as steel, a cruel-looking, ancient-looking thing. But even with that, the sight and smell of that great table blew towards her like a promise of all happiness.
Oh, well, I say, this looks splendid.
But where are the guests?
We can provide that.
Look, at the head of the table, something or some things.
Oh, yes. What are those? Beavers?
No, I don't think...
Or is it a huge bird's nest?
Could be.
It looks more like a haystack to me.
Yes.
I will go and see. These will not fight, I think.
What are they?
Three men, sire. Oh. What you saw and could not identify is their hair.
Oh, good heavens. It's an overgrown tangle.
I've never seen such long hair. It covers everything.
Are they dead?
I think not, sire. This one is warm, and his pulse beats in his wrist.
This one, too?
And this one? Why, they're only asleep. It's been a long sleep, though, to let their hair grow like this.
It must be an enchanted sleep. I felt from the moment we landed on this island that it was full of magic. Mm. Oh, do you think we have perhaps come here to break it?
We can try. Drinian, shake that one a little to see if he'll wake up.
Sire. Wake up, sir. Wake up.
I'll go eastward no more. Out oars for Narnia.
Out oars for Narnia?
Edmund, how about that one?
Wake up! Hey, you, wake up!
What? Weren't born to live like animals. Get to the east while you've a chance. Land behind the sun, you know.
Try the third, Drinian.
Hello? Wake up! Hello?
Mustard, please.
It's no good.
No. But at least we know our quest is at an end. Look at the insignias on their rings. Yes. The Lord Revillian, the Lord Argos, and the Lord Mavramorn.
But what if we can't wake them? Then what are we to do?
I don't know.
Your Majesty, we don't see a dinner like this every day. Why not eat while we discuss our plan?
Not on your life.
That's right. There's too much magic around here.
Depend upon it, it was from eating this food that these three lords came by a 7 years' sleep.
Well, in that case, the light's going uncommon quick. We should go back to the ship.
But what of these three sleepers?
We can decide what to do with them tomorrow. We daren't eat the food, and there's no point staying here for the night. The whole place smells of magic and danger.
I am entirely of King Edmund's opinion as far as concerns the ship's company in general. But I myself will sit at this table till sunrise.
Why on earth?
Because this is a very great adventure. And no danger seems to me so great as that of knowing when I get back to Narnia that I left a mystery behind me through fear.
I'll stay here with you, Reap.
And I too.
And me.
Then I will too.
I beseech your Majesty.
No, no, my Lord Drinian. Your place is with the ship. And you have had a day's work while we five have idled. Now take the crew back to the Dawn Treader. We'll see you in the morning.
I go under protest, sire. This whole business gives me a cold feeling in the pit of my stomach. Good night, sire.
Good night.
So, what now?
I suppose we should sit down.
Somewhere in the middle of the table, I think.
Yes.
At last they settled down. It was about 10 by now and almost dark. They wrapped themselves in their sea cloaks and sat still and waited.
And how long have they been asleep?
Hard to tell.
At first there was some attempt at talk, but it didn't come to much. And they sat and sat. And all the time they heard the waves breaking on the beach.